Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I'm Adam Kimmelman, joined as always by Mike Morial. And Mike, we've got a very specific topic today. We are talking goalies.
Adam, you and I agree more often than not, I will say. But there are moments when we clash.
Sure.
But when it comes to drafting goalies, you and I have always been on the same page with this. So long as you have a reasonable allotment of draft picks, you and I have always said every NHL team should consider selecting a goalie at some point in the draft. Yes,
correct.
Drafting goalies can be an absolute crapshoot, but you can't tell me a defenseman or forward taken in rounds 4, 5, or 6 will be in the NHL sooner than in any NHL goalie taken in that area of the draft.
No, and because of the volatility of the position, you should always have one, because you never know when that one is going to break. Hey, look, you know, years ago, I did a story on the 2008 draft, and the Nashville Predators had the number 15 pick. They wanted a goalie. They needed a goalie. They felt they had to have a goalie. They traded back 3 spots with the Ottawa Senators for the number 18 pick, and they took Chuck Pickard. Who did Ottawa take with that number 15 pick? You're smiling, Mike. I know people can't see you smiling, but I think that's because you know who Ottawa took. They took Erik Karlsson. They took Erik Karlsson. Now, here's where the now as bad as that was, is passing on Erik Karlsson. Here's why it hurt them twice. Because they had a 9th round pick the year before, developing, coming along in his native country, by the name of Pekka Rinne. Guess who has a statue in front of Bridgestone Arena? I'll give you a hint. It's not Chet Pickard. You never know where that goalie's going to come from. You need to have one coming along in the pipeline, because you never know where he's going to come from, when you're going to need him, and who's going to be that guy. You never know who's going to be, you know, like, look at Brian Elliott. He's playing. He's still playing in the playoffs. He was a 9th round draft pick. You don't know where these guys are going to come from. You never know when they're going to pop. But you always want to have one ready to go. And that's why, look, there might not be a goalie taken in the 1st round this year, but there's going to be somebody from this draft. One of these goalies that gets selected somewhere in these 7 rounds is going to pop and be a legit NHL player, probably a number 1 goalie for somebody at somewhere along the line.
Yeah, and that's why we're going to have Al Jensen of NHL Central Scouting join us today. Al is the guru. Whenever I attend the final meetings at Central's office in Toronto, Al's the one. They give him about 1.5 to 2 hours to discuss all the goalies, the top 32 in the 1st round, where they can go. Look, it's the most important position on the ice, and one that greatly impacts the chances that a franchise has of winning the Stanley Cup. This is why taking goaltenders in the 1st round may seem like a good idea, but when you look at the recent NHL history, it's best to maybe wait a little longer before selecting a player at that position, because you could still get those quality keepers 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th round. And those are the type of players we're going to discuss with Al, Adam.
Well, let's bring in Al Jensen from NHL Central Scouting. He is, as you said, the goalie guru. Al, thank you for joining us today on NHL Draft Class. The final rankings are out. Let's start right in on the North American list. Carson Bjarnason from Brandon in the Western League is number 1. He's got the size teams like it at 6'3 and 186, but what set him apart when you watched him as a top goalie for this year's draft on the North American side?
Well, guys, it's number one, for being such a young goalie, this presence that he has, the confidence and the poise, the skill level that he has at this point in his career, it's amazing. His mechanics are excellent. He's got great feet, extremely skilled, very good quickness, can carry the load. Like he played 47 games last year with Brandon and did extremely well. I think his overall net coverage, he's got great size, fantastic butterfly. Like it's very efficient. He rarely leaves any holes. He has that upside. And then the moment that you see him, you could tell that he's a quality goalie. Like his compete level as well. And you can see the progression he's already made throughout the year, how he's progressed and what you can see in the future. I just think he's got an excellent chance to be a quality NHL starter someday. And his play over the course of the year backs that up.
Yeah, he's got that size that a lot of teams like, 6'3", 186. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see when Carson goes in this draft, Al. But
he's got that size not only in his presence when he's in his positional plays on his setup. It's even when he goes down in the butterfly and stuff. He keeps his body upright. He covers the upper part of the net as well with great leg extension. Like I said, I mentioned his mechanics are excellent. You could tell he's been schooled for a long period of time.
So Omaha's Michael Hrabal, 6'6", watching video on him, Al, faces a lot of shots each game. He seems to track the puck really well, good athleticism, seems to be an imposing type goalie. What did you see from him down the stretch in the USHL for him to remain number two on the North American side?
Well, you had mentioned it, imposing size goalie. Mike, that's it. You know, this kid's what, 17 years old, 18 years old, and he's 6'6¼". He's a giant in the net. And not only that, not only is it his size, he moves very well. I don't think I've seen a goalie move this well at that size at this time in his development. When he's on his game, there's not much room for shooters. And you get to the NHL level, you need to be able to cover the holes. And he does it already at this age. I remember the beginning of the season there, he was very strong the first half, and maybe just after the beginning of the new year in January, he was very strong. But then he had a little dip about a month. He had about a month where his play kind of dipped. And watching him, it looked like he lost some energy. And that is very understandable for a young kid coming over for his first year from the Czech Republic. I don't know. It could be a little bit of homesickness, a long schedule, getting lots of shots, just like you mentioned. That could have played into it. But I'd say the last month and a half, Mike, his play turned around immensely. It was even better than the first half. I was actually very excited the way he was able to turn his season around after that little dip he had in January, early February. I think he's got a huge upside, obviously. I think down the road, he's going to be having a very good chance to be a quality NHL starter.
Al, Trey Augustine doesn't have that size we've been talking about with Bjarnason and Hrabal at 6'1 and 183, but he's number three on the list, had a really nice season with the National Team Development Program. But how much, I'm curious, did his play at the World Juniors, the bronze medal, 4 wins, .890 save percentage against older, more developed competition, how much of that did that show what he could potentially be as he continues to develop here?
That was being on the big stage, Adam, was a big plus for him. I watched him even the year before when he was playing with the U-17 program. Throughout the career, even leading up to this, the World Juniors, he's got the fundamentals, technical ability already ahead of a lot of the goalies. Yes, he doesn't have the huge size, but it's not bad. He's 6'1¼". And his positional play and his smarts, he is very smart. It makes up for any lack of size that he might have. He gets his in position to stop the puck. He's always seemed to be in good position. He's got great quickness, great compete, phenomenal leg strength for his lateral pushes to get across on the one-time attempts. Very good post-to-post play. His technique, he's already got it. He looks like he's a couple of years ahead of the game already. He's another one of those goalies this year that has a really good chance to be a top-end NHL starter down the road, going to Michigan State. And as of now, he's actually going to Michigan State for next year. He'll step right in there, and I'm sure it will be an effective goalie at that level as well.
Yeah, I was really impressed with him for the U.S. team at the World Junior Championships, too, Al. I think it's only fitting, though, we inform our listeners that Trey's real name is Kenneth. He's called Trey by family and friends because he's the third Kenneth James Augustine in the family. So a little tidbit there for listeners out there. But Al, I've been hearing so many good things ever since the conclusion of the final rankings meetings early April about Avon Old Farm's goalie, Stephen Peck. He goes about 6'2", 170. He's number seven on the list, the final list for goalies. Solid season at the Connecticut Prep School, 1.26 goals against, a .948 save percentage in 28 games. So many people have all of a sudden have been talking about Peck and what he's been able to do at Avon Old Farms. Now, it's a prep school, but from what we're seeing, and you know, obviously Avon Old Farms plays some tough opponents over there in New England. What did you like? What did you like about Steven this season? And do you see him maybe as a riser and a potential sleeper pick in this draft?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't know about his being a sleeper anymore, Mike, but he's a quality goalie. Here's a kid playing at Avon Old Farms in the prep school. He's a good 6'2 goalie who plays bigger than 6'2. He's got loads of confidence. He's very strong. He's got that poise. And I know it's at that level. But he was one of probably their most important players on that team, and was his team won a championship with Avon Old Farms. Yes, he did have a solid season. Great technical ability, Mike. Mike, if you watched him, his size, his net coverage, his poise, he gets it. You can see that he could take that next step at that next level. I believed even last year he could have played at a higher level with no problem and being an effective goalie. And I heard he's going to Michigan in 2024. So next year, my understanding is he either might play in the BCHL or he might play in the US in the USHL league. And my opinion is he could step into the USHL and be a very good goalie USHL next year. But I'm not sure exactly what path he's taking in that direction, but I really believe he's going to be one of those goalies that's going to be picked probably in maybe the third, fourth round. I think he's has a really good future ahead of him. And there's a lot to like. Great feet, great strength, great knowledge, great confidence, a lot to work with as an NHL goalie. You'd be happy to work with him. You know what you've got and what you can disguise the limit for this kid.
Al, I want to go back to the Western Hockey League for a minute and talk to you about Seattle. The Thunderbirds, one of the best teams in the Western League this season, with Scott Ratzlaff and Thomas Milich sharing the net, almost a 50-50 split. But now that, you know, we're in the middle of the WHL playoffs, Milich has been the guy for them. So Ratzlaff, you know, he's kind of been limited. He's just been on the bench. But, you know, what stood out about Ratzlaff's game during the regular season to earn him that number four spot on the North American list?
This kid impressed me right off the get-go when I saw this kid. He's not as big as the other goalie, 6'1.5", but his skill level, he's got such a high IQ. I just really like the way he plays the game, Adam. Mechanics are really good, great upside. I know a lot of people saw him in the prospect game, and he was excellent in that prospect game. I'm glad he played as well as he did, and for scouts to realize that this kid is a really quality goalie, even though he's not that 6'3 goalie that some teams probably would hope. But at the end of the day, this kid can stop the puck. And I know he's playing behind Milich, who's a very good goalie as well. But Ratzlaff, I believe down the road, you're going to see this kid in the NHL. He has great footwork, great positioning, great IQ. He's got good quickness, good reaction play. Very good laterally. There's a lot to like about him. I could keep going on and on about his high qualities that he has. And that's why he's up that high.
Yeah, he seems to be a kid, too. When I was, looking at stats and pouring over some numbers, too, Al, that he comes up big in big games. He likes that spotlight and maybe against those better teams. So that's a plus on his side as well. But I'm also wondering, I guess I always wonder about the goalies that were passed over in the previous year. You know, they have another year of experience under their belt when they are in minor hockey. And it seems like, they're able to mature a little more. They're a little older. So I'm wondering if you give us your thoughts on a few goalies who were passed over last year. But this season, not only played well for their club team, but their country at the 23 World Juniors. Number six on the list, Adam Gayan of Green Bay in the United States Hockey League for Slovakia. Number nine, Tomáš Suchánek of Tri-City in the Western Hockey League of Czechia. And then, of course, we talked a little bit, but didn't really dive into him. Tomáš Milič of Seattle, who was a gold medalist for Canada. Those three goalies, I thought, really made a mark for themselves at the World Juniors, Al.
All three of them are excellent goaltenders, Mike. Adam Gayan, I'm surprised, never got drafted last year. Well, all three of them might be surprised that they didn't. But I think highly of all three of them. Obviously, Gayan really impressed me. I like his strength, his competitiveness. He's got good size. There's a lot to like about him. He played most of the season with Chippewa with great results. Then he was called up with Green Bay. I don't know the situation. It's too bad he didn't stay there because he played six games with Green Bay and was very good. But there's a kid who played very well with the World Juniors with the Slovakian team. He's got a school. He's got Minnesota Duluth back in 2024. So he's got another year. I'm sure he'll probably be playing in Green Bay next year. This kid is so competitive, very strong, great instincts, and very smart. He's one of those guys that, as a coach, you'd be happy that he's in the net because he can steal a game for you. And I think, although he got passed over last year, I think he's got an excellent chance of being a draft this year. And I would say a guy like Suchánek for playing for Tri-City, another goalie that I really liked even last year. He got passed over, but another competitive goaltender, played in Czechia and with the World Juniors, was very successful there as well. And hopefully with the guys that I've mentioned, that with their success that they've had at the World Juniors might open up some more eyes to realize that these guys are quality goalies. And like Suchánek, you put him in a game where you need to win. He's one of those guys that could steal a game. And for a coach, that's a very relaxing thing for you. Very great compete, strong, smart, very skilled. There's just a ton of things to like about him. And for an NHL goalie to get him into your organization to work with, he could probably step in next year and play in the American Hockey League and be successful. I think down the road, 4, 5, 6 years down the road, you might see his name in the NHL. Tomáš Milič with Seattle, having a great playoff, by the way, right now, helping Seattle move on to the conference semifinals. He's just carried on. He's even playing better than he did during the season. He's been consistent the last 3 years, and he's been passed over. He's another one of those goalies, doesn't have the big size, but he's technically very sound. He's a smart goalie. He's one of those goalies that just stops the puck and wins and was successful with the Canadian junior team. And I hope that someone will give him a chance and that he'll get drafted. I think he's another one of those goalies that you're going to find hearing his name in the NHL someday down the road.
Well, that's great stuff, Alan. We'll be looking forward to following all these goalies along as we get closer to the 23 NHL draft. Thank you so much for joining us today on NHL Draft Class.
Oh, you're welcome, guys. Have a great day.
Some really great stuff there, Adam, by Al Jensen of NHL Central Scouting on the goaltenders to watch in the upcoming draft. You know, look, there are only two spots on each team for a goalie, right? And having two goalies is more important than ever before in the NHL right now. So you have to at least be second best to make the team with forwards. It's a lot less. It's a lot easier to maybe, you know, get a shot and easier to get more experience against NHL level talent. If you put a guy in a lineup as a forward who's borderline, you can give him some minutes in a bottom six role. Not so with a goalie. You either have it or you don't. There's no in between. And this year, you know, when speaking with Al, and not only the players that are first year eligible, Adam, but these second year, it's kind of an interesting year with these, you know, second year eligible goaltenders. And as I mentioned when I was discussing with Al, you know, there are goaltenders that have that extra year of experience, that extra year of maturing, gain, get a little older. And I think it benefits them. It's a bonus to get that added year of development and then drafting that goalie the following season. So I think for a lot of teams, it's going to be interesting where a lot of those goaltenders that played at World Juniors and played very well might go in this draft. As you know, obviously we have our goaltenders in there. Like I mentioned, Steven Peck, a kid that I'm really excited about and wondering where he's going to land. It could be a third round pick, according to Al, could be maybe early fourth, but overall, I mean, and as we've mentioned before, just draft a goalie. You never know when it's going to happen, where he'll start for your team. Look at the New Jersey Devils right now, right? Fifth round pick, Akira Schmid, in 2018. And now he's a starting goalie for the Devils, leading them in a first round playoff series. So pick one and let him develop, let him mature and see what happens, Adam.
Well, I think, and more so with goalies, and as you mentioned, the older guys going through it again, I think with age comes maturity, and maturity comes calmness. One of the most important traits you can have as a goalie is that calmness, that one goal isn't going to bother you. One moment isn't going to bother you. You know, you go back and you watch, you know, the Edmonton Oilers the last couple of nights. Stuart Skinner gets yanked from game four after he gives up three goals on 11 shots in the first period. Jack Campbell takes over and you're thinking, well, now what are they going to do? Are they going to go back to Campbell? Are they going to go to Skinner? What's next for them? They go to Skinner and he plays an outstanding game in game five. And now the Oilers are one game away from advancing to the second round of the playoffs. So, you know, again, he's 24. There's maturity and experience that comes with that age. And I think that applies at this point also. You know, you're getting a guy potentially to come into your organization who's a little bit more advanced. If it's a Guyan, if it's a Suhonic, if it's a Thomas Milich, they've been through the wars, or they've been through the battles, and maybe that development curve to reaching the NHL is a little bit shorter than it would be for a Carson Bjarnason or a Michael Rabel, who are very talented goalies, but they haven't been through it yet, like some of these older goalies have at, you know, the top junior league or the top college level. So yeah, it'll be interesting. And, you know, as you said, you're excited about Peck. I'm excited about Bjarnason. You know, I've had the chance to watch him a little bit, meet him in person. You know, he has the right temperament on and off the ice to be a goalie. That's sort of one thing that's one of the vibes I got from him. Talk to the guys who play against him, the size and the athleticism stand out, but then you get to know him a little bit. He's just a very calm guy. He's an artist. He's a musician. You know, there's some really interesting things about him that goalies are always sort of a different breed, but I think he's a different breed in the right way, where he's a little bit more, he seemed to me a little bit more mature than the typical 17, 18 year old goalie who's going to go through this process for the first time.
Yeah, absolutely. I like Bjarnason, and you know, we were able to catch up with him at the Top Prospects game. The one goalie that I'm curious to, Adam, and you had asked Al about it, was Trey Augustine from the National Team Development Program. I mean, this is a kid, you know, he snagged the starter's role as the youngest number one in the tournament at World Juniors, played quite well, led U.S. to a bronze medal. He isn't that big, as Al mentioned. He relies a lot on his movements in the crease to make up for that. You know, he's real quick. He's focused. And he always has his eyes fixed on the puck. You know, when you watch him play goal, it's one of those goalies where his eyes get really wide. You know, you think of, and Al mentioned this, like an Andre Vasilevsky, you know, when he's ready to play the puck or looking at the puck, his eyes get really wide open. You know, Trey Augustine is that same type of player. You know, going to Michigan State University has a real bright future ahead of him. And you know, he's one of those goalie prospects with those high ceilings. So, yes, you know, here he is projected among the top five goalies to go in this draft. I think it's going to be interesting to see where Trey Augustine goes, you know, in this draft. The majority of these goalies, and when we were talking about maybe the older goalies, the overagers that are going might be selected here, a lot of goalies, and we've talked about this before, Adam, you know, seem to mature and finally get their NHL chance when they're 24, you know, 25 years old. So there's a lot of development that needs these goalies need to go through, not only with their major junior programs, but then when they turn pro, they're in the American Hockey League for maybe 2-3 years before we might see them, unless you're a first round pick. But you do have some goaltenders who do it before the age of 25, but it seems to all come together for them around age 24, 25. The physical side is part of it, but I think it's more the mental side. I think that's the hardest part of the position for a lot of these players. And one note here too, Adam, Kevin Woodley, who writes for NHL.com, InGoal magazine. He writes for, he's like a goalie guru for NHL.com, and we rely on him. He'll be on the Chirp with Darren Millard. So that'll be something that a lot of fans can look into as well.
Absolutely. Woodley's one of the real, real good ones at when it comes to goalie analysis and goalie breakdowns. But Mike, you mentioned guys with high ceilings. There's a young forward coming out of Regina in the Western Hockey League, who I think might have a pretty high ceiling. Name of Connor Bedard. You might have heard of him. If you want to learn more about Connor Bedard, who I think might be the number one pick of the 2023 draft, you should go back and listen to some of the previous episodes of NHL Draft Class. We've spoken to Bedard, but we also spoke to Dan Moore, the vice president of Central Scouting, in our most recent episode to talk about how the rankings came together. And what really stood out to me was when we asked Dan about putting the list together, how long it took. You know, how long did they spend talking about Connor Bedard as number one? And he said, quote, there was zero debate. I'm not surprised by that because, you know, I didn't think I had any reason to debate it. But, you know, Mike, you were in those meetings. You know, you were there. Like, there was no debate. You said it yourself that they just said, Bedard, yep, moving on.
That was it. I mean, that was the funniest thing. And I wrote it down in my notebook because it was so funny. It was the fact that, you know, Dan sits down and he and David Gregory are running the meetings that week. You know, they sit down and Dan says, is there any objection to number one and number two? Number one, of course, being Bedard. Number two, Adam Fantilli of the University of Michigan, who had just won the Hobey Baker Award. And you can hear a pin drop. I mean, there was no one said anything. Everyone was just shaking their heads, smiling. So it was up to me to get up and get some comments from these guys, or else they wouldn't have said anything, because that's how, you know, sure they were that it's Bedard, it's Fantilli, and away we go with the rest of the first round. So, but yeah, it's you know, Connor Bedard, we have two episodes. The fans can look back on those that we did speak with Connor. And we had another at the, you know, one of them being at the Top Prospects game, Adam, which was a real interesting interview. If fans want to look into that. Yeah, our interview with Dan Moore, on the final list of North American skaters and final list of international skaters and, goaltenders was a great episode. So you can go back to that and listen to all the players that could be a part of your NHL team in the near future.
Absolutely. Stay tuned to NHL Draft Class. You can go back and listen to the previous episodes, but we've got a lot more coming up. We've got the NHL Draft Lottery coming up here on May 8th, and we're going to have, Mike and I will have some of the top minds from NHL Central Scouting to talk about some of the top prospects. You can follow us on NHL.com. Follow us on social media. I am at NHL Adam K. Mike.
At Mike Moriel, NHL.
There you go. So stay tuned to NHL Draft Class. Check out the previous episodes. stay tuned for what we have to come as we get closer to the big time, the big weekend, the big week, excuse me, in Nashville for the 2023 draft. But for now, NHL draft class is dismissed.